Am I the asshole for putting my coworker in the hospital and almost killing her?
You know, on first glance, maybe.
I think that, like, I prefer someone that's more chatty. This is why this works, okay?
Without saying it! She's describing me. I'm like, wow, she does love me.
No. Plato's Closet Southlands, we buy hot clothes for cold cash. What's your name? I answered that damn phone so many times.
Brother, if you're taking a laxative at your office job, we need to do an inventory. To the grave, bro. Don't admit that.
Log into that Teams account and see what those notification pings are about.
Check his phone, girl.
Good morning, zoo gays, girls. Oh, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Good morning, girls, gays, bays, and straights.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hi, guys.
We're going to the zoo today, and I'm really excited.
We're filming this the earliest we've ever filmed anything.
It is the crack of daylight. Oh, my dear God.
It is the crack of dawn. We haven't even finished our first coffee yet, and it's because we have something to do after this.
You know what? This might be my prime time. You're going to see me looking like Kenzie from Love Island, eyes wide open, smiling up a storm. I love her. She's so happy and smiling.
We love her. Oh my gosh. No, it has been the joy of my life watching Love Island with you. I feel closer to you than I've ever felt.
It's so sad. It makes me actually sick to my stomach that you have to leave and I have to watch Love Island on my own. You guys, I've been trying to pitch to Brooke.
Dude.
Because in her home state of Dallas, yeah. Dallas, Texas, her home city, her home state, or where she lives right now, it's so hot. It's so hot and humid. And who wants to be there in the hot humidity?
Not even just hot.
I've been pitching to her that her and Jacob, her husband, should come just temporarily have summer camp in Colorado. I'll clear out the guest room from them. I won't even bother them. I won't even make a peep, I swear, except for when we watch Love Island all together at night.
So let me tell you something. There's a little bit going on in my house right now.
Is there?
So
I completely cut you off, by the way.
No,
sorry.
You didn't. No, you didn't. You're fine. Here's what's going on. A little glimpse into my life. There is a house that was next door to our house when we moved in. And it was there for like the first year and a half we were there. And then one day we hear a big commotion as if there was an explosion. The house was being demoed before our very eyes. The house was being torn down and leveled because a developer is coming in and building a duplex right next door to our house.
The
lot was vacant for literally a year. Like it took that, like we thought it was just like a loose threat that there was going to be a house there someday because it was just one big open lot that was there forever. And out of nowhere, about maybe 2 weeks ago, the hammering started. Threat.
Oh,
the
no.
hammering started. And that wasn't even big of a deal because it's like, okay, fine. We live in like the city. Like, it's fine. We can do with some hammering. What didn't cross our mind is that they're building this house, you guys, a toothpick width away from our house.
Oh, you're going to be hearing hammering in your dreams,
Morgan,
girlfriend.
What's worse is because they're building up, they can see into our house. So and any window.
And the not even your neighbors that are like sometimes passing by, the construction workers.
So at any window in our home, any window, any room, any bathroom, any window, at any given point, there are 4 to 5 men looking in on our house to the point where Jacob like ran to find me and he's like, hey, you need to be careful when you shower. And I was like, why? And he's like, the construction workers now are level with the window looking, and we have like curtains that kind of block it, but it's only blocking like the lower half of the window.
Yeah,
not
you guys
the
have the
window.
Cafe curtains.
Yes.
Oh dear God.
So it won't be that bad in the next couple months once they get the walls up. But right now we are living in a fishbowl, and our dog Putt, our French bulldog.
Oh no!
Oh my gosh, you guys! Another update. My French bulldog had a back injury, and so he's on bed rest. But he's an anxious little guy. Chip, his brother, is not anxious. He could give a damn. He will take on anything. But Putt is scared of lightning and thunder, and he's just our sensitive guy, our big noggin boy. And he looks up and sees men coming from the sky, and he's terrified at any angle.
With their big scary ladders and their big scary hammers.
Dude, it's...
I would be scared.
There is a lot going on. I'm a little overstimulated. So your guest room is looking better and better by the day, girl.
And you know what's going to be even, I'm going to do to you what my brother and Lizzie do to me. I know a place that's really, really fun and really, really great. You would be living the best dream life that you could ever live. We could watch Love Island on this white couch every night. Jacob, we could set him up a room in the basement. He could be working all day. What else? OMG, there's no construction, no hammering, except for when I get a little whiff of inspiration and start rearranging the entire house in the middle of the night.
But then we could put Jacob on the job.
Then you could help me with my rearranging. Oh,
my dream.
Also, wait till they start on the roof. You think the walls are bad? Wait till these men, which I know they're doing good, honest work. Okay. Wait until they start on the roof. Every summer in Colorado, there would be a hailstorm in my parents' neighborhood growing up. And then come post-hail season, all you would hear from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. hammering on the roof. The roof might be the most brutal of the whole thing. All I'm saying is it's a really nice place here. You guys wouldn't be as hot. We could go on our little walks. Maybe I'll learn how to walk faster.
I would love it. I just need to figure out what we're going to do with Chip and Putt.
They can come.
They can come.
I don't have a fence though.
That wouldn't be the problem. I just don't want to, encroach on Miss Cookie's domain.
Miss Cookie is really chill though. I will say I found my soul cat because she is so adaptable and
she's so sweet.
Like she's been with my parents' dog and she's perfectly fine. And you know, my parents' dog is a little bit of a spaz and kind of like bites people sometimes, but it's a problem for another day.
Stella?
Don't get too close. My mom always says, do not reach your hand out unless you want to be bit. And if you do get bit, she nibbles.
She's scared.
She has anxiety. Don't we all? She did good with Uno, honey, rest in peace. And Cheeto, like she's been in multiple different households with multiple different dogs and she's totally normal and chilling.
Well, and I also have an army of siblings. So one of those girls can watch the dogs, even if we come for like a couple weeks.
I'm telling you, you can bring them with. I'd only be worried that they'd run away in the backyard.
Oh, that would not be my
concern. Do you think they've ever seen a deer before?
Yeah, in Illinois.
Okay.
They're used to wildlife. They just have never met a cat before.
Do you guys love how I can't get Lizzie to move in? So now I'm on to Brooke. I'm like, okay, someone's going to one day agree to my pitch.
No.
I texted my fully married straight brother and I said, hey, you guys could move in if you want.
Well, I think summer camp could be exactly what we need. Because I'm not going to lie to you, the thought of watching Love Island with my husband, my straight husband, is just not...
It's not the same.
It's not giving me the glimmer in my eye that screaming and standing up on this couch watching strangers make out on TV. It's not giving me the same butterflies.
We've decided that we are Kenzie.
Poor girl.
I know we're weak binds at this point, but the personality stays true. We've decided poor thing is just too normal for this
show.
That's
what we've decided. We've decided she's too normal and she's
not cutthroat enough.
No. And we're early on in the season. We're only on episode 3 because we're watching this as it airs. And we're also a little devastated watching Melanie self-sabotage
because she's so gorgeous and hot,
and her and what's his name Sincere are so cute together. But this is going to be a blast from the past. Future us, let us know, were we right to be upset about that? I don't know.
TBD. I thought, because I have my favorite coworker here,
hi guys,
calling you my coworker is so funny because that is not at all in my brain what you register as. Like if somebody came to me from like an IRS standpoint and was like your coworker, I'd be like, who?
Cookie,
who are you talking about? I call Cookie is my coworker, we edit together. Brooke is my coworker.
When your mom is your coworker this. Sometimes
everyone is my coworker when the time is right. My favorite coworker is here with me, however, and I thought, because we did talk about weddings, and I do kind of, you had a great idea, producer Brooke over here, big brain Brooke. Thank God one of us has a functioning brain.
No, we switch off. We switch off. Do not.
Yeah,
sometimes
so
I borrow the brain. Other times she borrows the brain.
My zoo friend, who I'm taking to the zoo today, which we completely passed over. We'll get to that at the end. She gave me the bright idea of, OMG, when we read submissions, maybe we should have a theme so it's more cohesive. It's not so random. I thought, today we could talk about heinous coworker experiences, not mine, because I love my coworkers. I am deeply fond of all of my coworkers,
you know,
but I know some people are in the trenches out there.
I have been known to have a corporate job.
You do, which you never, Brooke and my mom, secrets about them, corporate job girls.
I have a corporate job and I've also worked
many different jobs. I worked at SoulCycle as a front desk glorified janitor. I worked at a boutique when I worked at multiple boutiques. Did they not pay you? So that's like, I've had so many crazy coworker stories that I just kind of brush over. One of the craziest ones, that boutique. So I worked at, it was in the Topanga, the village. Is that what it's called?
Yes. The outdoor section of the Topanga Mall.
Yeah. There's like a
Los
village.
Angeles.
And,
you're so smart.
I got you, Blondie.
Okay, go ahead.
But no, I worked at this. It was like, picture this. Los Angeles. Scene. Los Angeles. Outdoor mall in the valley. Summertime. 113 degrees. Where am I working? In a metal truck turned boutique. Okay? Y'all, it was literally just a truck that they like gutted and then put some racks in and some lighting, and they called it a store.
Like an Airstream almost?
Like an ice cream truck, like a toaster looking thing.
Oh, okay. Right.
And it was like this boutique on wheels, and they would literally, swear to God, they would take the, on the weekends, they would put the thing in drive and drive it to like other,
oh, like farmers markets and stuff.
Yes, but like it would primarily stay at the Topanga Mall, and I worked there.
Bro, the valley is brutal. Hot. If you don't know LA geography, which why would you? The valley is basically a valley. So it is the hottest center of hell. I lived in the valley. Brooke lived in the valley. My brother lives on the outskirts of the valley. Teresa, y'all lives in the valley. And she would text me when I lived in the valley and be like, it's cooking today, girl. It gets 115 degrees every day in the summer.
You can literally cook an egg on the blacktop. Like, it is so hot. And this is a truck. It is not a store. It does not have air conditioning. It is a truck. So they had one little measly fan that they would set up for the whole boutique. And I had a boss, and I swear to you, this lady wasn't real. She was a figment of my imagination. She was nuts. She was effing nuts. And if you're not watching this, she was such a narcissist. She would not be watching this right now. She was insane. I could go on and on and on about this crazy boss that I had. But one of the craziest things is, in this truck, when we would work, we could have the fan on us when there was no customers in the store. But when the customers entered the store, we had to turn the fan so that the fan would be on them. So we would just be sitting there.
You had to trade the fan baking, off in the store?
Cooking.
They and couldn't get two?
No, of course not. And the other, because it was so tiny that like they couldn't. And the other thing, like another crazy part of this is, we were expected to work. And I'm like young at this point. I'm like 19, maybe 20. Maybe it's like my first like W-9 job. Or actually, that's not true. I had other ones, but like this felt like my first like adults.
Yeah, kind of. You're on your own. I was in LA in college.
Yeah, I was like a sophomore in college. Like I felt like so grown. And I'm working in this truck, and it was very common knowledge that this lady, I don't even know what to call her, Jordan, we'll call her Jordan. Jordan, it was known, she was the boss of this place, she was the owner. After our shift, after we clocked out, we would have to spend upwards of an hour after our shift ended packing up the truck for the week. So if you had like a Thursday night or Friday night shift, your shift ended at like 9 p.m. You had to stay till 10 to pack up the truck and like bolt everything down, getting it ready for
mobility
the next morning.
All right.
And this was kind of like a common knowledge thing. Like it sucked. You did not want to work Friday nights because it was just this horrible thing. And the same thing, like when you brought the truck back for the opening shift, you had to like unbolt everything, but you had to do it when you were off the clock. It was like very strange.
They didn't pay you to do this?
No, this was like something that we were like expected to just do. Another thing that Jordan did was she would throw these events to get people to come to the truck. And I got a call from her or text from her. This happened twice where she'd be like, oh, Brooke, I need you to stop by Home Depot to get like XYZ, like XYZ from the Home Depot, bring the receipt and I'll reimburse you.
I didn't have a company card. Like, it was just my credit card. So I brought my little Chase debit card to to the Home Depot, got what she asked, brought it to the event, and she would just like never pay me.
What?
Yeah, she'd be like, this is a gift.
So you were providing
yes,
tools like, and materials for this truck. This is
the kind of stuff that she would do. What else? Oh, we were required. This was the nap. We were required to wear things from the boutique while we worked, which isn't super like a lot of boutiques do that. Like you're supposed to wear the merchandise. Yeah,
that makes sense.
But there was only like three of each thing. Like there was no back stock. Like there was only like three of each item. So if a customer came in and wanted the size of a shirt that you had on and you were currently wearing it, you would need to like take it off. And remember, you guys were working in 113 degree heat.
Ew.
It's sweaty and nasty.
I want your pre-worn, sweaty ass shirt.
I
know.
And I would feel so bad because I was like, I don't want to, because we wouldn't wash the stuff. Like it didn't sit right with me. So I literally would just like spend half my paycheck buying the clothes because I felt bad like selling my
used clothes
to these poor people. Anyways, I digress. She was nuts. We were
an HR nightmare. Oh,
we were required to go on these team building nights where she would take all the girls
out. All the truck stompers had to go out.
The girls that I was working with, there was a few of them that were very nice. Like I would say two of them were really nice. The other three were so mean. Oh my God, they were so mean. There was one girl whose mom was a famous supermodel. Like Cindy, she was like in the same era as Cindy Crawford. She was like one of the other models. And there was this show, I think it was called like Growing Up Supermodel or like, yeah, I think that's what it was called. Like growing, it was like a TLC show that was only airing for like 12 episodes. And this girl was on the show briefly, like was one of the daughters on the show. And she was like, she was so mean, but Jordan thought that she like kissed the ground that this girl walked on.
She was so cool.
So literally we would get text messages and be like, hey, so-and-so, the girl doesn't want to work today. Who's picking up her shift?
Like the coworkers didn't have to ask?
No.
It should be pretty standard, right? That if you need your shift covered, you have to go to all the employees and say, hey, I have this thing that I have to do. Will you cover my shift? That's what I always had to do.
For everyone else, yes. For this one girl, no. If she didn't want to work, she didn't have to work and we all had to pick up the slack.
You have told me this. Is this where there was an investigation about this lady?
So all of this stuff happens. I hit my limit. I, mind you, making minimum wage. I am making minimum wage. It's like
$7 an hour back then.
You guys, it was pennies. And I am slaving away. And I'm like, okay, I should focus on school. And I ended up quitting that job and going to SoulCycle. So thank God. But I ended up quitting this job because the conditions were horrible. I would leave my shift crying because Jordan would call and be like,
I'm surprised you didn't get like heat exhaustion in there and pass out.
It was exhausting. You know, she was so ungrateful. And so, like, she was just one of those bosses that nothing would be right. Like I would be like the top salesperson of the week. And instead of being like, good job, Brooke, it's, oh, well, you sold more last week. So I don't know, like, are you just sitting on your phone? Like, what are you doing? Oh, she put up a camera in the truck and would like spy on us. And we'd get these text messages like, why are you sitting down? You should be standing. First of all, we're dying of heat exhaustion. Second of all, there's no one in the damn tin can. Third of all, leave me alone. Anyways, I quit this job. Maybe like 3 or 4 months later, I get a really scary call. And it was like, what is the department of, what is the U.S. Department of
fraud? Justice?
No, it's
scheming.
It's the department in the United States that protects workers.
I know. It's an acronym.
Yes.
What is it? I don't know.
It's you not guys OSHA. Know what it is. It's not ADA. This is going to drive me nuts. I apologize. Skylar, if you can think of it, please let me know. But I get this call from like a U.S. department of something and it like shows up on your phone, like caller ID. And I'm like, this doesn't seem like spam. Like, what did I do? I'm like, oh, did I pay my taxes? What are taxes? Like, I don't know yet. I answer the phone and it's an investigator and they were doing an investigation on Jordan. And they're like, hi, did you work for this person? I'm like, boy, did I. And they were like,
tin can owner herself. They
were like, can we ask you a couple questions? We have an open investigation on workplace, like workplace harassment and like not right workplace environment. Like, can we ask you some questions? I'm like, yeah, sure. And they're like, were you expected to work in a metal car with no air conditioning in the middle of summer?
You're getting flashbacks. You're thinking about trauma.
I'm like, yeah. And they go, was there one fan? I go, yeah. And she goes, did you have to work overtime with no overtime hours? And I was like, yeah. Like,
you thought it was so normal because you didn't know any better.
I thought that this was just like,
you don't know what you don't know.
What a shit. Like, that sucked, but like, jobs suck. Like, that's kind of what I thought. Yeah. I didn't realize she was breaking the law. Come to find out, there was a person.
Witch of the workplace. What is
it? The Department of. Hold, please. I have to look this up. Hold.
Wicked department. I had a similar situation when I worked at Plato's Closet, which I do think that this lady had good intentions, but she would watch us on the cameras while she was at home. And she told us where she lived. She lived 2 minutes from the Plato's Closet, right? And she would watch us on the cameras and she would often call the store. And oh my God, I still remember the tagline. You had to answer the phone and you had to say, Plato's Closet Southlands, we buy hot clothes for cold cash. What's your name? I answered that damn phone so many times. And this lady would watch us over the cameras and she would often call the store and she would say, Morgan, just a reminder, I'm not paying you to talk to Nathan, my coworker.
Oh.
So that might be creepy, but normal. No investigation.
The department is the Department of Labor. And
that one, so the big one.
Unbeknownst to us, and this happened after this happened right after I left. It was actually one of my favorite coworkers that this happened to. This lady comes in the summertime to try something on. And she's looking around and she's like, why is it so hot in here? And she's talking to my coworker. And my coworker's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, here's the fan.
Here's it's the one of those fan. Face ones that they yes, give you like, after you get a microneedling.
Here's the fan. And the lady's like, do you have to sit in here all day? Like, how long is your shift? Because that was the other thing. Our shifts were like 8-hour shifts. Like, they were so long. And we were expected to take our lunch break on the clock. It was like, we weren't allowed to like close the shop. It was like this whole thing. Long story
one
short,
person
this one lady comes in, sees what's going on. She works for the Department of Labor. And she starts asking questions
that
to my coworker.
That would be so damn fun.
And what my coworker didn't know this. And so she's asking these like very calm questions. And come to find out, the lady was so disturbed by what she saw and how these young girls were being taken advantage of. She opened her own investigation at her Department of Labor job. And it went to court. And they were like, well, they go on the phone. They're like, well, thank you so much for your information. Just so you know, every single person that has worked for this lady has said the same thing. It is not just you. And we're opening a full investigation and we'll call you if we need a witness. And I went,
oh,
thank you so much. So actually an update to that story, that was in probably like 2018, maybe that happened. Cut to maybe like a year ago, I'm scrolling on TikTok and you know how it'll be like people you know?
Mm-hmm.
Jordan popped up on my effing For You page. And she looks nuts. And she's trying to sell homemade elixirs.
Oh,
like
no.
A snake salesman.
Just and get on Arbonne, girl.
She's still doing the damn thing. But
do you think she does it out of a metal truck?
Oh, she does it out of her mom's garage. Because
do you
that
think
was
the metal truck got confiscated?
Oh, well, that company is
Where's
no longer
the metal
in
truck
existence.
Now?
I've looked it up. That thing is no longer
Did
in existence.
Did it get impounded?
God willing. God willing, it
With
was
all the bolts and clothes and the fan, she keeps the fan as a keepsake.
The polyester, absolutely heinous clothing. Yeah, no.
You know what's also so funny is I'm sure it's intentional that there was only one person working at a time. So you didn't form any relationships with your coworkers to be like, is this fucked up?
We couldn't have two people in that damn tin can if we wanted to. I could stretch my arms.
You're in a literal Coke can.
It was a literal lunchbox. I got really skinny though because I sweat so
You're
much
in
that
sauna
thing.
12
sauna.
Hours a day.
But I'll just say the workplace drama is near and dear to my heart.
Morgan knows. Miss Tin Can herself.
Morgan knows. I call Morgan all the time about my corporate job. I'm like, they're at it again.
Well, I have pulled some stories for us of other people that have heinous experiences, but that is a really good firsthand encounter.
I've got more that came from, girl. Lay it on me.
You might be looking at me and you might be thinking, how is it even possible that she looks like such a soft and cozy burrito? I am here to tell you about something that is going to put all of your blankets to shame. If you have never had a Lola blanket, you are missing out on one of the seven wonders of my world. Lola is literally the world's number one blanket. It is crafted with this ultra soft, luxurious faux fur and features a signature four-way stretch that you just have to feel to believe. These suckers instantly elevate my couch and my bed experience to a level that I did not even comprehend was possible. This is the softest blanket that you will ever have in your entire life. If you are worried about the upkeep, it is completely machine washable. No pilling, no snagging. The durability, the flexibility, the stretchability, the softness. It is just everything that anyone has ever wanted in a blanket and more. And trust and believe, it is not just me. Lola has over 20,000 five-star reviews. If you want to experience it for yourself right now, our listeners can get 40% off select Lola blanket products at lolablankets.com using the code HEARMEOUT at checkout. I also love the heart behind this brand. It was founded by two brothers, Tommy and Will, who were inspired by their mom's strength during her battle with breast cancer and wanted to bring life-changing softness to the world, and that they did. So go wrap yourself in luxury. Head over to lolablankets.com and use the code HEARMEOUT to get 40% off your order. And when they ask where you heard about them after your purchase, make sure to let them know you heard it here first so that they know we sent you. Thank you so much to Lola Blankets for sponsoring this episode. Am I the asshole for putting my coworker in the hospital and almost killing her?
You know, on first glance, maybe.
Trigger warnings.
Uh-oh.
Theft, allergic reactions, work harassment, infidelity, and sexual disease.
Oh, dear God. That's the trifecta.
Okay. Here we go, everybody.
I'm actually scared. Strap in.
Get your helmets on. For the past 3 months, someone at my job has been consistently stealing my food that I bring from home so I don't have to use the snack machines or walk across the street to McDonald's like the majority of my coworkers do. Funny flex. My fat ass coworkers, I don't go to McDonald's like them. Who were we watching last night that they were doing an interview about McDonald's and she goes,
Trinity on Love Island.
I don't eat that. That was so funny.
He was, the model guy was like, what do you eat after your, like, oh, no, it wasn't Trinity. It was the bombshell. She was like, I'm trying not to eat McDonald's anymore or pizza. And he was like, yeah, me neither. Okay. Sincere.
That is one of the funniest flexes that people do to me. They're like, ugh, I could never eat that. I'm like, yeah, me either.
Yeah.
Who does that? In the first month, I noticed somebody had been gradually taking some of my food. One out of three slices of pizza gone, 20% of my soup gone, Cheeto bags gone, etc.
20% of someone's soup is crazy.
Putting your spoon in someone else's soup,
that's
a you problem.
That's diabolical.
Didn't think much of it and simply decided to now attach a please don't touch paper sign on my stuff. Cut to August. In the second month, at the start of the month, my food became untouched but progressively went back to the usual. September. At the beginning of the third month, I asked coworkers if they had taken or knew who was taking my food and no one had a clue, which is kind of believable as most of us take our lunches separately. I decided to eat McDonald's or go to 7-Eleven and stop bringing food, but then it started f***ing with my financial stability. Yeah. 10 days of paycheck, consistently buying food. October 3rd, on a Thursday, I decided to take matters into my own hands. Last week, my friend told me about an Instagram reel that she saw where a girl put a laxative into her own food to see who was the culprit, and that's exactly what I decided to do today. What I wasn't expecting was for the girl in her late 20s to have an allergic reaction to an ingredient and ended up going to the hospital. After work, all of us went to visit her in the hospital.
It's like an episode of The Office.
If I am in the hospital, the last thing I want is people from my office Are coming to see me, bro. That's well, my office maybe, but.
That is so funny.
We all went to visit her. We all talked about what happened, and I admitted to putting a laxative into my own food. Oh, you I, could you not, not waterboard that, that out of me. Keep that a secret. And also, to what if grave. You have constipation?
To the grave, bro. Don't admit that. I'm your lawyer. Don't do that. Like, don't do that.
Nothing wrong with putting laxative in your food unless you admit that you did it intentionally to fuck with this girl's digestive system.
Brother.
Poopy pants is going to be all over your office and pants, none of McGee. Us want that.
Brother, if you're taking a laxative at your office job, we need to do an inventory. That should be a weekend activity in the comfort of your own home. You blowing up the office bathroom on a Thursday should never be on the table. I'm sorry.
Oh my God. 6 out of 8 coworkers, all girls, were disgusted by my actions and were on her side. One girl was whatever about it, and the last guy said she shouldn't have been touching my food to begin with.
Yeah.
I told the girl that I hope she gets better and went home, but I didn't apologize for what I did, and I'm not going to.
I'm assuming this is a guy.
This is a guy.
Got it.
October 4th, Friday. Today, on my day off, I received a phone call from our supervisor, who I spoke to about my issue after the first month and told me she can't help me because she's not our mom, and essentially told me I had to apologize to her or else I wouldn't be able to come back to work until I do.
What?
I'm assuming if I take too many days, I'd just be fired for not coming to work. He goes into all of these updates. Basically, they want him to apologize. He doesn't want to. His reasoning is she's not poor. She drives a Lexus SUV at least 2020 LMAO. Here's the thing. Oh, and another context that he gives. Doctors say the allergic reaction might have been the laxative or my food, which was chicken noodle soup that I made from scratch the morning of. They're still running tests, but they can't really pinpoint what it was. She didn't go to the hospital because she was herself senselessly from the laxative. She went because she complained of a stomach ache and a rash line from below her belly button between her two rib cages.
Huh.
Girl is going to the hospital for a stomach ache. You know how expensive for me to go to the hospital, my arm would have to be hanging off. I'm not going to the hospital for a tummy ache. Mm-hmm. Grow up.
No.
For a laxative. You don't know what a laxative tummy ache feels like. What's wrong with you? I honestly, as much as I want to be on the girl's side, I agree with the guy. Why are you touching his food? Why are you eating his soup, you freak?
There's so many things. First of all, you should have never admitted to that.
Oh my God. Why would ever. You do that?
First of all, you're not an asshole. You're just a dummy. You should have never admitted that. Here. First of all. Second of all, she is so weird for repeatedly moving a post-it note that says do not touch and continuing to touch and then to play victim is insane. Third of all, it's not for all she knows, you are putting a laxative in your food for whatever reason.
You're and constipated. Yes, God it's forbid. Painful. The bloating, maybe you have a date tonight. You don't want to be bloated.
La la. But no, I just, you were, I think that she was so weird for that. And I also think I think the real asshole is the office manager.
I'm not like, your mom.
You have to apologize in order to come back. Why isn't she apologizing for stealing his food?
And soup?
That's crazy.
I can see maybe sneaking
a French fry,
Nerd gummy cluster, a Dorito. To open a Tupperware from somebody's mysterious ass fridge, you don't know how well they wash their dishes, and put a spoon into somebody's soup? Ugh, freak. And I think it's what would be so annoying is you both work at the same place, so you know she probably makes around a similar salary to you and has the means to get her own damn soup.
Again,
it's not like she's homeless and jobless and begging for food.
I'm sorry, a PBJ?
She's a thief.
A PBJ can cost less than a dollar to make. Like, if you get a jar of peanut butter, a jar of jelly, a thing of bread,
it's per laziness.
Sandwich, it's not like... It's laziness, and it's clearly it's not like he says like she has a Lexus. Like, it's not for lack of resources. It sounds like it's just entitlement. And I think too, that's
We truly are not a man hater podcast, because honestly, I sometimes think that when girls are like, I'm on her side, it's like, did we use our critical thinking?
Did we use our frontal lobe development for that
into
one?
Into thinking, maybe she shouldn't be seen as just a girl and should be seen as just a person who is doing a really weird thing. Like, I get it, girls supporting girls, but do we really have to support a girl who's like weirdly stealing a guy's food?
Do we really have
like,
to eat other people's soup?
If
somebody was stealing my food, I would assess the situation and I would say, you know what? Maybe something's going on at home. I'm going to bring them their own soup. But you have to speak up. You know, like if you need support, support is available for you. Don't steal other people's soup.
Well, and he was
I'll bring you some, girl. Just give me a chance.
Going around trying to find the culprit too. Like it wasn't like he was like, it wasn't like he was noticing and didn't address it and then like wanted a gotcha moment. It was, he put the post-it note up. He went around the office and was like, do you know who's doing this? He probably talked to her because it sounds like he went to everybody and she was playing dumb.
And imagine how frustrating it would be when you're working in an office cubicule all day long. All you have to look forward to is your Campbell's chicken noodle soup. That. You get there and it's gone. Your one glimmer of freedom in the day, your 30 minutes of joy.
Bro.
And then you're hungry for the rest of the day or you have to go buy. It's just,
Or like the germaphobe in me would be like, how did this leave the cup of soup? Like, did they
slurp
did
it?
Did they slurp it? Stick did they straw like in? Eat it cold and like double dip? Like you don't, I'm not like a germ freak, but I wouldn't eat food that I know someone else has been in that I don't know the person.
Yeah, well, you don't know what's in their spoon. Barf yeah, she it, probably yeah. double dipped the spoon. You know, was slurping all over it.
I just
it.
Think that that's mm-hmm. such an invasion. So my vote, not the asshole. I do think that the asshole is the boss because the boss should have been way more neutral about that. They should have had to at least apologize to each other at the very least.
Oh my God, 100%. And
I should say at the most.
Not to hate on the girl, but I've never met somebody that went to the hospital over a laxative.
Well,
like, and that's why you shouldn't eat other people's shit. If you have allergies,
yes,
hey, maybe you shouldn't be pitter pattering in other people's food.
Yeah, agreed.
Like if you know what you can and can't eat, then you're responsible for your own allergies.
I just don't know. Again, he's writing it. So maybe there's context missing, but I don't really think that there is. But I'm so confused how a group of six women was like, it's his fault. I don't understand that.
Well, Dummy McDumdum here should have just been like, yeah, I need laxatives, don't you?
Brother, I put laxatives in my soup.
Why did you admit to the crime? White lies would have been acceptable.
If I was him, I would have been like, what did you eat? What did you eat? Oh my gosh, allergic reaction to what? What did you have in the office that caused this allergic reaction? I would have played dumb. Had her admit that she ate something out of the fridge that wasn't hers. That's what I would have done. Yeah.
You committed to a crime that you did not legally have to, or you admitted to it and you did not. I would have taken that
as your lawyer
10 lifetimes from now to my grave every single time.
As your lawyer, F minus.
Okay. This is not a Reddit post, but I just thought this was really funny.
Those are my favorite.
This went really viral.
I screenshot those all the time.
I remember reading about this a few years ago on Facebook.com, the mothership of gold.
That's where I find all my good too.
I just want to get your opinion on this.
Okay, let me center myself.
In 2009, Debbie Stevens, what a name. Isn't that such a Disney Channel name? Like a mom on Disney Channel?
You're so right.
Debbie Stevens donated one of her kidneys to her boss, Jackie Bruschia, who was suffering from a kidney disease. It was an extraordinary thing to do for anyone, let alone someone that you work for. Then the story took a darker turn. Stevens later claimed that after the surgery, she experienced serious complications, including chronic pain and fatigue that affected her ability to work. According to her account, instead of receiving support during her recovery, she was pushed out of her job for taking too long to heal from an operation she underwent to save her employer's life. She eventually filed a lawsuit over the firing.
The case sparked much wider conversation about workplace power dynamics and what it really means when an employee feels compelled to make a sacrifice that extreme for somebody above him. One person gave up a kidney, the other allegedly gave up her job for it. And the tagline of this whole thing is, a woman donated her kidney to save the life of her boss, who then fired her for taking too long to recover from the operation.
Are you effing kidding? That's
selfishness
awful.
Is a disease.
That's awful. No, I...
Not only do you not have a kidney, now you don't have a job.
Ugh, that was just a little news information.
Hey, maybe don't give your kidney to your boss who doesn't care if you live or die.
It's hard though, because like when you work for a place for so long, you get this sense... Like your mom has talked about it because she's worked for the same place for a very, very long time.
Yeah. And you feel like these are your genuine friends.
And your boss, like, it's like a, you know, a peer of yours. But at the end of the day, especially these big corporations, all they care about at the end of the day, unfortunately, I shouldn't say all companies, but a lot of companies, they just care about the numbers. They just care about profits and all that stuff. They aren't really considering the human element of it. And it is such a hard line to walk of like keeping your humanity in it while also keeping boundaries. It's
devastating.
I had a boss once at a different job that I worked, and she was like much higher than me. She like was like the head of the team. This was like a marketing job that I had. And I was her favorite. And so she'd call me and give me all the drama and all the tea.
Oh, then you feel really safe.
Oh, and but I kind of knew better than to like divulge anything, but like she would always kind of blur that line of like she would call me to like complain about my coworkers or like tell me secrets that are going on in like the high level of the company.
Which is so...
And she'd be like...
Put you in such an awkward, weird position.
Oh, because cut to, I find out that... They're laying off or like selling off a big part of the company. And I knew 2.5 months prior, no, not months, I'm sorry, weeks prior to this actually happening. And I was working with one of the girls that was on the team that was getting like laid off. Not laid off. They were like acquired. She didn't lose her job, but she was like moving to a different company. Like this part of the company had been acquired. They're just moving it to a different place. And she was no longer going to be my coworker. But she's calling me, being like, I have this idea for a marketing campaign. Like, let's do this. And she had all these big ideas. It was spending so much time and effort and energy, like building these campaigns. And I'm sitting there like, I should not know that you are not going to work here in 2 weeks. Like, I should not know this.
Then it's like knowing that somebody is cheating.
Yes.
And then you're the person in the weird, awkward pickle that if I tell this person, which I should, then I'm going to be in trouble with this person. It puts you, being put in the middle. Leave me out of it. If you think I want to be involved, I don't. Don't involve me. Do not put me in the middle. Do not tell me your deep, dark secrets about things that I don't want to know.
No, it was so tough. And I just remember being so frustrated with my boss because I'm like, man, like I shouldn't know this information.
No.
And I'm at the time, I was young. This was a long time ago. I was like, I think 23, 24. This woman's in her 60s. Like she knew better than to like be doing this. And this wasn't the only time. Like she had told me like, oh, did you hear so-and-so got reprimanded? Like they did this. And I'm like, man, like that's my coworker. Like I should not know this. Like,
yeah, this is not your gossip corner. Get a girlfriend or get a boyfriend, honey.
Because then she would have no problem turning around and calling me and like letting me have it. And I'd be like, whoa.
Oh, I thought we were friends.
Yeah, it was really.
I thought we were cool like that.
Mm-mm. Messy, but that's so messed up.
Well, you want to know something else that's messed up.
Yeah, I do.
This is another one about a work wife. Speaking of work wives who sometimes hang out outside of work, like my friend and I do.
And sometimes we take the garbage out before bed.
And sometimes we go on little joy rides to the zoo.
God forbid.
Whatever. This one is a little kooky crazy.
Oh, no.
Am I the asshole for demanding my fiance tell his coworkers that he will not be renewing his vows with his work wife when they return to the office?
I almost read this exact one.
Did you?
I didn't read it. I haven't read it, but that's when I almost read the last episode where I was like,
oh, we're synced.
Yeah, we are so synced.
You know when you tap the top of your iPhones and they like, that's
That's how I feel when we sink our brains.
Wait, I'm so excited. Okay. Wow. Everything goes my way. Wow. That's awesome. I couldn't have planned this better. Shoot.
Well, my fiance, Mark, I love when they use first names. My fiance, Mark, works closely with a woman, Megan. They both have similar responsibilities and need to work together as a team. I've never had any problems with this. They don't really interact outside of work. We have been working from home the last several weeks. I happened to be in the living room with him yesterday while his office had their weekly Zoom meeting. During that meeting, people began talking about what they wanted to do when everyone returned to the office. I could hear someone say that my fiance and Megan must really miss each other. Several other people began referring to them as work wife and work husband. Someone suggested that my fiance and Megan should renew their vows when everyone is back in the office. Mark just played along and joked that they would be registered at Office Depot. I left the living room in tears while he continued, oblivious to how I was feeling. I confronted him after the call and said I felt humiliated. Our wedding was supposed to be in September, but we've had to postpone it and it's not clear when it will be safe to reschedule. Oh, so
They're not even married
and they had to postpone their wedding. So you know, Miss Bride, how stressful a wedding is. So stress is already high.
And he's talking about renewing his vows when he can't even give his real vows to this girl.
Weddings bring out sensitivity, people. So they need to postpone their wedding. They don't know when it'll be safe to reschedule. I'm assuming this is a COVID thing.
I bet.
And here he is talking about renewing his vows with somebody from work. Mark explained to me that it was just a joke and not a big deal. He tried to show me some joke article his office had been passing around about how teleworking is ruining work-wife relationships. I said the term work-wife itself is offensive and humiliating because I'm supposed to be his real wife. I demanded that at his next meeting, he needed to publicly apologize to his office and tell him that he will not be renewing his vows with Megan because he is engaged to marry somebody else. I also said he needs to tell his office that they need to stop calling him and Megan spouses. He says he can't do that because it will be embarrassing and hurt his reputation at work with his colleagues. I said, oh, is it hard to feel embarrassed? I would never know what that's like. He called me an asshole. Now that I've cooled down a little, I need to figure out if I have overreacted.
You've underreacted.
You've
underreacted.
I could see both sides.
Oh, tell me.
I think the work wife and work husband thing, because like they said, it's not like the other people where they're sending memes back and forth and having phone calls after work. Like, I think it's pretty obvious that they're only interacting at work and he's kind of just trying to keep, you know, straight men. They're just trying to keep the peace, ha ha, whatever. But if they're not talking after work and they're not like appearing to be that close, is it weird and silly and unnecessary? Yes. Do I think that she should make him go make like an official statement? No. I think he should cut it off. Like, he should stop engaging in that conversation, but I think it would be embarrassing to go on a Zoom meeting and be like, hello, everybody.
Yeah.
An official statement from Mark. I no longer want to be referred as work wife and work husband with this lady. I think he just needs to stop engaging with it.
I think there is also a way where you can address it in a less confrontational way.
Yeah, where, like, you're not going to make things awkward. If someone
said that, just be like, hey, like, that's making my wife uncomfortable or my fiance uncomfortable. Like, I'd prefer us like not joke like that anymore.
Yeah, I don't think her solution is the solution. I think he needs to do it more like that. Like, when it comes up, be like, yeah, I don't really vibe with that. I don't like that. It's weird. Let's stop that.
As a married person, if another woman was calling my husband their work husband, I would have a massive problem with that.
Oh, I would have I'm playing cool. I would have a fucking meltdown.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that. And I would be so confused why that would be seen as appropriate to anyone in the room personally.
Oh, it's weird. It's definitely weird.
It was COVID time. Nah, it's not a COVID thing. I think that it gets away from you, especially because, like, when you're working with people, it's like you have a it's like your second family, especially when you're like a tight group and there's like a corporate vibe and you're in person. Like you are with these people all day, every day, sometimes more than your actual spouse. So I understand how like
close relationships form.
Yeah,
but you just need to exile that term. It's not a good term unless you're single.
Well, and I think it's like, we joke like work wife, like it's, that's so different than like a married, a man who's engaged and another woman being like, cause they're referring to each other as spouses and their coworkers are like, I bet you miss each other. And you guys are so close. Like the spouses, like you need to renew your vows. Like,
yeah, took it too far.
Yeah.
They took the bit of like, these two work closely together. They took it way too far.
Well, if I was the girl writing in, I'd be like, wait a minute. Like, why are you guys so close to the point where they're joking about the fact
you're so right.
Like,
why do they think that? What did you do to make them think that?
Do you know
that?
What I mean? Like, there has to be something where like that
chemistry.
Joke, right. Or chemistry where like that joke would even
land
and be perpetuated to the point where they're being like, you guys must miss each other so much. We need to have you guys renew your vows when you get back to the office because you love each other so much. Like from an outside perspective, there has to be more check his phone, girl.
Yeah, maybe check in, see what he's really talking to this work wife about. The Outlook, yeah. Log into that Teams account and see what those notification pings are about. Yeah, I do like to play it cool. I don't think her solution is a good solution. I would lose my marbles though. I'd be levitating to the moon.
If I found out about that, I'd be like, so shut that down. And I don't care how you do it, but that will be no longer. And if I find out that's happening again, we're going to have an issue. Like, I didn't realize that this was a problem. Like, shut it down. And whatever way you need to do it, I don't care. Just shut it down. Because I feel like you said, like, I, Mark, do not want this to happen anymore. Like, being really formal about it would make it weird.
It'd be so weird. And it would feel so forced and awkward. And yeah, just when it comes up, I think he needs to be like,
hey, weird. Like, that's making my fiance uncomfortable. And if that's a problem with him,
then he needs to reevaluate if he really wants to marry this lady.
Yeah.
I think we might have differing opinions on this one, which I really like. I think there, because I don't know if there's a right answer. Am I the asshole for asking my husband's coworker to pay for a dress that I was planning on returning? Some backstory. My husband and I recently made a bunch of bad investments and I pretty much live paycheck to paycheck supporting our three sons and adopted niece. Story for another time. We recently moved to a larger town from a small one as my husband found a better, higher paying job. Don't have any family or friends here. My husband got invited to a charity gala for work, which although was optional, would not have been a good look if a new employee sat it out. We were not expected to donate any money, but it was a black tie event. I had nothing that I could wear to this event, but he was insistent that I needed to come. I tried rental agencies, but I'm a larger girl and nothing fit me right. I went to a plus size bridal type store and found a dress that fit me properly and looked stunning. I looked at the price tag and had a mini mental breakdown because it was so expensive. I'd been looking for so long and this was the only dress that fit. One of the sales associate, also a larger woman herself, took me aside and asked me what was wrong. She was so kind and offered me so much sweetness. She said that her manager would kill her, but she understood my situation and without outright saying it, told me that the store had a 30-day full refund program. She implied that I could hypothetically buy the dress and return it. I went to the gala and I looked amazing. My husband looked amazing and it was the first good day I've had in a while. I tucked the tag into the waist of my skirt. Everything was going well until one of his coworkers said hello to me and whispered, "You left your tag on," and proceeded to pull it off herself. I felt my heart drop and I felt awful. I didn't say anything right away, but I was devastated. I took her aside later in the night and told her that I wasn't planning on keeping the dress. I needed to return it and that our family was in financial trouble. I asked if she would be willing to pay for the dress and she refused. She was incredibly offended that I asked and so was my husband. He thought it was incredibly inappropriate for me to ask, but I thought it was even more inappropriate to pull on and tamper with someone else's dress. Am I the asshole? I think she's the asshole. I
have secondhand embarrassment so bad.
Why did she tell them that? Oh, maybe I am a good secret keeper because I am pretty good at keeping my lips sealed, because you know that Becky Helmecki that pulled off your tag, now that you've pulled her to the side, you don't know these people and you've said, we're in financial trouble. All that your husband's coworkers are going to think is, OMG, they're unstable. They're having trouble. You're going to be the gossip of the whole office. His wife is going to return the, it's just, oh my God, it's going to haunt him in the office forever.
So many things. First of all, it was like a first impression.
Yes.
So your first impression is this person's trying to be nice, because listen, it's not customary to wear something out that you're planning on returning. That's not like a standard thing to do. I think that was very kind of the salesperson to offer that. I don't necessarily think that that would have been like a bad thing to do. Do what you got to do. But to assume that a stranger is assuming that that's your plan, socially, that's not normal. That's not the norm.
That'd be such a Midwest thing to do. Be like, oh my God, girl, you got this thing on your shirt.
I would do that.
Like, I would totally do that too. I would
totally do that.
If Brooke was walking around with a tag on her pants, I'd be like, yoink.
Yeah, I would think that that was like the nice thing to do.
Yeah, so, because you don't, she was trying to be nice to be like, oh, you look, something's not right here, girl. Let me help you out.
Yeah, like, because that's not, you're at a black tie event. That's like not the look. That's not the look we're going for. Like, in,
I do see her side, like, yeah, you got to do what you got to do. But couldn't we have taken the tag off in a way that you could then put it back on?
You can get...
Go on Amazon and get one of those little...
Going back to my retail days, putting a tag back on something is so easy. Go on Amazon and you get a... it's like a tag gun. And basically you like thread the tag through and you just... It's like a staple gun. It's so easy. You could just put the tag back on, or you go back to the store and you say, hey, the tag fell off, but I do need to return this.
Right. That was my first thought, is can't you just keep the tag and say, oh my gosh, tag. I was trying it on and it fell off. Also,
pulling someone aside and being like, you need to pay for this because you altered my plan that I was going to do.
In a thing that's not a socially normal thing to do. Ooh. Because other people don't know that you made a plethora of bad investments that led you to want to return the dress that you're wearing out, especially to an event like that, because so many things could have gone. You could have spilled wine. You could have got food on your dress.
That's
you
could have dragged it
on the floor. Like every time I wear a long dress, the bottom is like all crusty, dusty.
I thought it was like she spilled, if she had spilled wine on your dress, if she had like ruined your dress and you were like, hey, like, can you play for the dry cleaning? Like, can you? I can somewhat see that, but again, it's like a social situation that your husband has brought you to, and it like
you're the new coworker, like, family.
Yeah, it's a first impression thing. But it kind of speaks to a broader conversation, which I'm wondering what you feel about this. I am one of those people where I think I used to be an open book. I don't think I'm an open book anymore. I think I'm a lot more reserved now, just because I've gotten...
You protect your peace.
I've had to, because I've gotten burned so many times in my life that like, I just think over time, like walls build up, like healthy walls, boundaries, because I was an open effing book, but now I don't really think I am. And my life has improved because of it. I think like protecting who you allow into proximity to like the inner layers of yourself and your life, I really think it's important for a number of reasons. But recently I saw a social situation happen. I was out at a party and I saw an interaction where these girls were meeting for the first time. And one of the girls, I think she was nervous, starts trauma dumping to like another level. And it was their first time meeting. I didn't know like really either of these girls. Like I just was kind of observing the situation. But it reminds me of this story where it's like, this is a stranger that doesn't A, need to know all this information, but B, She doesn't want to know all this information. She's out at a party. She's around her coworkers. She doesn't know you. And you're sitting here telling her about your financial trauma and
the bad decisions that you made.
And it's
not
a safe space. And now she's having to carry that burden. And now she's walking away from that situation
feeling guilty, I'm sure.
For something she shouldn't feel guilty for. Because that's like, I'm sorry, that is a normal thing to do. If you see a tag, like, should you touch someone without their consent? No. Should she have been like, hey, do you want me to pull this tag off? Maybe. But like, to be like, you did this, therefore you need to pay for it. And you need to pay for it because I'm in financial trouble because me and my husband, da 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 da. It's like,
yeah, you're putting your burdens onto her onto when she was just doing a nice thing.
And what are your thoughts on like trauma dumping on strangers? Or do you have any thoughts on that?
You know, I don't socialize much.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say in a social situation, I tend to be more of a listener than a talker. And I think when you get a listener, when you find someone that really wants to chit chat, which is, there's nothing wrong with, I think that like, I prefer someone that's more chatty because me and my mom are the same way. Like we don't need to like I don't feel the need to like go on and on and on and on. So I prefer when somebody else has like longer stories to tell me. Cause I like, this is why this works. Okay.
Without saying it. She's describing me. I'm like, wow, she does love me.
No, I prefer somebody that is more of a talker because I'm more of a person that likes to listen. So I have found myself when I am socializing with random people, especially because, which is such a blessing, I've spent so many years online with people that they feel like they know me, which in a way they do.
Yeah.
But sometimes, and I've been in this situation too, because I'm such a YouTube viewer where I see somebody and I'm like, OMG, I know what your bedroom looks like.
Well, it's even like,
I know what you keep in your car. You feel like you know
them,
it's
even
right?
Like Andrew TMI, like Morgan, Andrew TMI and I, we have like a group chat and we haven't like talked in the group chat in a minute. And when I came to see Morgan this past time, she's like, oh my God, did you see that Andrew's in a relationship? And I was like, yeah, I did because of his YouTube title. Mm-hmm. And it's like funny even in that way, because it's like even people in your real life, like,
yeah, can keep up you with keep you in a virtual with,
it's,
way.
It's kind of crazy how the lines blur.
Yeah. So I will say I have found myself in many positions, which I'm totally fine with, where people feel safe around me, but I don't know them. I've never met them. And then they're telling me like all of these informations, especially at a bar, which I don't really go to bars anymore. But when people get a little drink in them, then they want to be like, oh my God, my mom left when I was 4. And then I've had 10 boyfriends in the past 2 months, la la la. And I'm like, whoa. Like, what am I? Cause I'm not like the best. You don't want to call me when you're having a crisis.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want someone to be like, hugging you while you're crying. Me and my brother are not the people to call. We do not That's have true. An affectionate family. We don't hug. My parents, I cannot ever remember them being like lovey-dovey, like OMG, like comfort hug. We're kind of like, sounds like a problem. Let's solve it and
you're
then
good
move
in
on.
A crisis, but not like an emotional crisis.
Yeah, if you're having an emotional crisis, don't call me. I'm going to be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Did you watch Love
space.
Island?
No, you're good. It's not. I would say it makes you uncomfortable,
which is valid. It really does. And it's really something that I'm trying to work on because I want to be the person where people come and trauma dump and I'm like, oh, well, this is what you want from me. But then I'm so like, I don't know what to say. I don't want to say the wrong thing. Do you want to watch Love Island? Do you want to go to the coffee shop? Like, I don't know what to do.
There's a difference though. Like, I think this is kind of what, and it's, this story really reminds me of it. I feel like when I was younger, I was very much like open book, didn't read, this is not going to surprise many people, I didn't read social cues very well. And I would like do weird things in social situations that I didn't know were weird until I kind of grew out of it or got perspective or was corrected by friends being like, hey, like that was weird. And I'm like, oh, shit, thank you for telling me because I don't want to be weird, but I sometimes don't know when I'm being weird. And the big one that I realized as I got older is like, not everyone needs to know everything about you. And you have to have trusted people that are like, I've tried to get better about asking people like, hey, do you have space for me to share something kind of heavy with you right now? Because I realized that that is a burden that you are putting on someone, whether they are willing to accept it or not, whether they know it or not. When you are sharing difficult information or heavy information, or like this person, like sharing all of your financial burden with another person, you're asking them, whether they know it or not, to carry some of that weight with you. And that's a big ask, especially in the day and age that we're living in. Everyone's got so much going on. The news cycle is a lot to handle, a lot of weight to bear. And everyone, I think, is carrying a lot more than they normally do. And so to go to a stranger and put a burden on them without asking if they're able to hold it, and or without it being necessary, I just think that in the era that we're living in, it's just not, it's not necessary. And honestly, it's irresponsible, in my opinion. And I think too, like, I'll even with some friends be like, I know that my friend is going through a lot, so I'm going to not go and burden them with what I've got going on. I'm going to go to a different, you know, shoulder to cry on or whatever, because I know they have capacity and this person doesn't. And sometimes that is unknowingly such a kind thing to do. Mm-hmm. Because for you, for example, like, if there's a time where I know you're super, super, super stressed, I wouldn't go to you with like a super emotional thing, because I know that that's
but
gonna.
But you could.
But that's the thing, is anyone could. It's not that I'm a shy person. Like, I'm not shy.
Yeah, I think it's just knowing who are my trusted people, who are my safe people.
And going to a stranger and sharing such heavy information.
Yeah, you don't. Everyone doesn't need to know everything.
And that's the thing.
Can I tell you one of the most uncomfortable situations that I've ever been in that reminds me of this? Like, what? I was the tag puller, basically. Once upon a time.
The tag puller. That is such
the tag puller.
That's a good analogy.
So I'm trying to say a lot without saying too much.
I got you.
I lived in an apartment once upon a time, and I met this girl basically that worked within the apartment, and it was a huge apartment complex. They had a ton of employees, but I was really getting friendly with all the employees. Like, I was so excited to be living in an apartment. Like, oh my God, I've never lived. It almost felt kind of like a college experience for me, because I didn't really have like sorority college experience. Like, I was making friends with all the people in the elevator and all the people
about
that worked in the lobby.
Man.
Oh,
we
the front desk man
him.
That I love so much.
Oh,
I loved him. But I also knew a girl that worked there. And over time, we kind of became friends, which I didn't know. I've never lived in an apartment like this. So I didn't know, is it okay for, like, I was cool with it, but I was like, is it acceptable for them to be friends with the residents or like whatever? Eventually I was like, I think it's cool. It seems cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I was always just walking in and out. I'd go for a walk in the morning and then I'd come back in and I'd see my friends sitting at the desk. I'd be like, oh, hey girl. Long story short, I ended up learning a lot about her, a little bit too much information, but I felt like we were real friends, kind of. Like,
and was she disclosing this information to you?
Yeah. Like, we were like friends and we would not hang out, but like we would chit chat and like we had a really good acquaintance friendship relationship. And over like the year that I lived there, I like learned more about like her relationships and her living situation and whatever. And she starts disclosing to me all of these things about similar thing, like my husband did a lot of bad things with credit cards, so we don't have a good credit score. So like, it's hard when you don't have a good credit score to go find like a new living situation, whatever. All these things that add up to another. Eventually, after like, because I was just trying to be like a listening ear, you know, like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry you're going through that.
It's the polite thing to do.
Yeah, like, and I genuinely enjoyed her company. Yeah. Like, I thought she was really cool and really pretty, and I felt bad that like, she didn't like the living situation that she was in, but she was kind of in a tough place, whatever. Eventually.
And she lived in the building or she just worked at the building?
No, she just worked at the building.
Okay.
She comes to me and she's like, hey, I was able to see, because you know when you apply to live anywhere, they like pull your credit score and whatever. She's like, hey, I was able to see that you have a really good credit score. And I was like, okay, like, thanks. I guess. Like, yeah, like I've never gone crazy on a credit card. I've never been like, this was before I like obviously bought a house or went into debt with like a construction loan. Anyway, privacy. I was like, yeah, like, you know, I'm not a reckless spender. I don't go out and buy designer. Yeah, you don't know what to say in that situation. Like, because I almost felt like I had to defend myself after hearing about how she, like, that was her whole thing was like her husband f***ed up their credit score, whatever. And I was like, yeah, because I feel so uncomfortable when people are like, oh, you do have a good credit score. Oh, you have a good credit score. I'm like, I feel so guilty. I'm like, I don't know what to say. I'm so sorry. Like, I pay my card off as soon as I spend something. I don't know.
Well, because you don't want to, and this is such a beautiful thing about you. You've been like this as long as I've known you. You never want to make someone feel like insuperior to you.
Or so, just uncomfortable
in any way. So like you will, if someone compliments you on something, you're like, you'll downplay it because you want to make them feel comfortable, which is so kind to do. So I can only imagine you being like, it's not that big of a deal. Like I pay my credit card off. Yeah, I can.
Oh my God. And then I'm spiraling. I'm like, I'm exposed for having a good credit card. What the fuck am I going to do now? Jail.
Sorry. The cops are imagine you being like, I'm sorry.
I'm like, I don't know what to say. I don't know. Okay.
Oh God.
Long story short. She kind of like baits it with that. And then a few days later, we're still talking about her living situation. Eventually, she says, hey, would you want to be my co-signer for like, I found this house that I really like, but with my husband's credit score, like we can't do it. But if I found a co-signer with me, then I could do it. And I know that you, based on your apartment application, I know that you have a good credit score. Would you want to be like my co-signer? And I'm like, wait.
You've never like hung out with this girl.
No, like we're good lobby friends. We're good elevator friends. We're not family. We're not, I would do that for my brother any day of the week. I would do that for my parent. I would do that for like anyone that I consider my family. I'd be like, yeah, sure. But I don't know you outside of, I live here. Number one, you pulled my information without me knowing. Number two, that has to be illegal in some way.
Yes.
Number three, now I'm standing here after being like friendly for so long, being like, oh my God, like I just am so supportive of you. I can't wait for you to find like the place that you love. And now you're putting me in a position where like, I'm the one that's responsible to help you get there. So weird, so awkward. That is like a situation where I'm backed into court. I'm like, oh fuck.
Like my thing is, did she not zoom out and think of like, I don't imagine, I don't understand how someone could be so audacious to be like, I saw that you have a good credit score. Therefore you should just help me because you have a good credit score.
Yeah, because like, you've made good decisions with your credit score. You now, because you're my friend, you need to help me because my husband has made bad decisions.
Which you're letting me know that you and your husband haven't made great financial decisions. And if you co-sign with someone, you become liable. So if they stop paying, that will affect your credit score. So like if you were to do
that, it's on me. That's on you. And all you've told me is that your husband makes bad choices. So why would I want to? It was just, I felt like the tag puller. I'm like, like now I have all of your burden on me as if like, do I need, because that's my thing. Like, I'm not good at the emotional thing, but like, I want to find a way that I can help.
Yeah.
I want to find a solution for you. I want to help get you to a better place.
Well, she like forced you to be the bad guy.
I like avoided at all costs. I'm like, oh my God. Don't go down the elevator at this time. Don't go in the lobby at this time. Avoid, because what do you even say?
Well, it's kind of like this, the tag puller. It's like this person is coming to you trauma dumping, being like, you have to help me because of the fact that like you did this thing unintentionally. It's like, Morgan has to help me with get a house because she has a good credit score and she just should. It's like, don't put that burden on other people, man.
It's tough out there. Long story short, our ride's here. So we gotta go.
We are going to the zoo. We're gonna be vlogging the zoo.
Brooke is gonna vlog the zoo. You can see it on the Zoo Channel, but OMG, yes, they're early. So we have to wrap it up, but we love you guys so much. Watch out for your coworkers. Don't let anyone steal your credit score.
Y'all, stay safe out there.
Stay diligent and stay safe.
Don't give your boss a kidney. Please, don't do that.
Don't give Selena Gomez one either. It seems like she didn't do well with either. Love you guys. Bye.